With me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And verse 20, Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. You may keep your finger here. We're going to turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 19, or chapter 20 for a verse, and then we'll return here to Matthew 16. John chapter 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This afternoon, it's on my heart to meditate together with you on a very few of the names of the Lord Jesus, particularly the names that we see most frequently and their combination. We have the name Jesus, and some of them are titles of the Lord. And I'm not going to particularly try to distinguish. We have Christ, which does happen to be a title. We have Lord. But we also have in the New Testament Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to distinguish them a little bit this afternoon because it's a joy to the heart to get to know the Lord Jesus a little better in the way in which he is presented to us in the combination of his names. Sometimes we use the names, we co-interchange them, sometimes not very consciously or intelligently. But I want to say right at the beginning, I'm not interested in you in at the end of this meeting have a more accurate understanding of the difference particularly. It's rather the desire that each one of our hearts would be touched by the way in which our Lord Jesus is presented to us. An example of what I'm trying to say in that is in the case of the resurrection and Mary Magdalene, and she's the first one who gets to see the Lord Jesus in resurrection, and she immediately calls him by a name that from intelligence was not appropriate. She called him Rabbi, which is a Hebrew word for teacher, and that really wasn't an appropriate name at that moment in time. But would to God that every one of us had her devotion of heart to his person. And he well took care of teaching her the right name and the right reference. She recognized who he was because, in looking for him, she said, "My Lord." But that's not the point this afternoon, is not to be technical about it, but rather in a hopefully refreshing to the heart sense of it. Names are important. Your name's important to you. My name is important to me because it identifies us. I set us apart in some way. And in the scriptures, when we have the names of the Lord Jesus, there was a man by the name Mr. Roll who decided to identify some of them, and he identified over 200 names and titles of the Lord Jesus and decided to share it and started to write about it, and he ended up writing 5 volumes. And I'm sure he was just touching the surface, because God has presented a person to our hearts that all names are insufficient to fully make known his person to us. And we will have the joy of eternity in getting to know him better. This morning when I woke up, Lord has his way with each one of us. But when I first woke up this morning, and knowing that the Lord, I believe, had put on my heart something of this subject, one of the first thoughts of the day was, "Lord, what am I going to say to you? How am I going to address you when I first see you face to face for the first time?" Then I immediately had a rather odd thought, at least odd to me. I hadn't had it before. But, you know, there are going to be, I'm sure, hundreds of millions of other people who are going to want to have a moment to say hello, if you will, for the first time. You know, if there's royalty here on earth and people are going to be presented, they're presented in a certain order, according to who they are. And it made me think, well, you know, what would my card say? Number 157,436 in line? No. We know it's not that way, is it, brethren? We'll all have a number 1 on our card. We'll all have immediate access. And I don't know what, next thing I thought is, well, what language will I be using? And I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just know that the heart will express itself, and that's what the Lord Jesus will be looking for when we say our first words to him face to face. But those names are important, and he knows your name. Isn't that good? You sit in your seat this afternoon, and I wish I could identify everybody in this room. I can't. I can't even always name ones that I know. But the Lord Jesus isn't like that. Every single one of us in this room, he can call us individually and personally by name. And in the same way, he appreciates it, he enjoys it, when we express ourselves to him by name. And so we do. And we express ourselves to him in different ways at different times with one or more of his names that we want to speak to him. So with that in mind, here in Matthew chapter 16, he says, Verse 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, that's one, the Son of Man, am? Interesting that that's what he called himself most frequently. I will say right at this point that whether or not you remember anything that's said this afternoon, in this hour, there is one desire of my heart for you, and that is, as you read the Word of God, if you aren't already doing it from now on, you will pay attention to the name that is used in each place where you find it, particularly in the New Testament, when the name Jesus or Jesus Christ or Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, each time you see it, there is a different aspect that is being emphasized by God to us about Himself that adds to our enjoyment. And sometimes it explains the truth of what's being said in connection with that name. Here he says, the Son of Man, I the Son of Man am. When you focus, if you will, and paying attention to that, you'll notice that Luke's gospel, more than any other, over and over again, he presents himself to us as Son of Man. And he often connects it with the kingdom of God. And so when we identify something and we pay attention to it, we learn things that are blessing and joy to our souls. He's going to ask him, who do people say I? And then he immediately identifies himself as the Son of Man. We will perhaps with time speak about what the Son of Man signifies a little later. Then he says, Simon says, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. There's two more, isn't it? The Christ and the Son of God. I'd like to begin more specifically with the name Jesus. We go back to the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We know that he was given the name Jesus, not by his parents, but by God. So it says, Verse 20, while he thought upon these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now just turn over to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. Can't find the verse I want. Yes, let's see. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and excuse me. No, I'm looking for the expression, the child Jesus. I think it's in chapter 2.
Seven.
Pardon me?
Verse 27.
Thank you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him according to the custom of the law. And a little later down in the chapter, when they're in Jerusalem, he's called the lad, Jesus. What I want to say about it is this. Jesus is the name that he was known by, just like you were given a name at birth. The Lord Jesus was given the name Jesus, and that is the name he was known by. If you had gone to the city of Nazareth when he was a child or even as a man, and you had been looking for him there, and you had asked somebody in the town, I am looking for, what would you ask? Who would you ask for? You would have said, I'm looking for Jesus or Jesus the carpenter. And that is the name throughout the Gospels that he is presented to us as one that is, man knew him. And he knew him in that way. And as such, God presents him to us in a very lowly way. He was not a rich man. He was not from a prosperous family in that way. And the Lord Jesus is presented to us as Jesus. Yes, we know he's Jehovah the Savior, but people didn't know him that way. They didn't see him in that way. And man looked upon him when the disciples first saw him. He was Jesus to them. He bore that name. And when it came to his crucifixion, that's the name under which he was put on trial. There was the claim which they hated that he was king, but they didn't see him as such. They did not accept him as such. They rejected that about him. When Pilate heard that he had claimed to be, as they said, the Son of God, that made Pilate afraid. And he quizzes him about that. But he is put to death as Jesus. Consequently, in Philippians 2 that was read in the breaking of bread this morning, God gives his answer to what man thought of him and how man treated Jesus. He said, no, I do not accept it. And consequently, Jesus is taken and given a supreme place of honor, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Because God is taking the one that man looked at and saw nothing in and saying, no, I'm going to give him his honored, his proper, his right place. And so he has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every name. When the gospel is preached in the Acts to the Jew, it's Jesus that is presented to them. And in fact, some of the preaching, it's this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God has raised him as Lord and Christ. And so in that way, in fact, they were forced in the matter of their repentance to say, Jesus of Nazareth. That is, they had to get down and recognize this person as the one that to whom they would submit. Consequently, in Romans 10, when the gospel is presented in that way, and every one of us in this room, you know, people like to have somebody that's supreme and great and say, I'll follow that man. But when the gospel is presented to us, and as it says in the Acts and or Romans in chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, The question is, will I bow before the one who is presented to me as Jesus and own him to my heart as Lord? I hope every one of us has done that, that we have come to Jesus and bowed before him to acknowledge him in that title, which is also his, Lord. Well, we'll have more to say about it, but we can't go too far into any one. Turn with me now to 1 Kings, I think it is, chapter 4. Chapter 1. We read in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 43. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "Verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king, and the king has sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that was heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom." Well, we know here that Adonijah and others wanted to be king. And so he had a gathering of people that came together, and they proclaimed him to be king. But he wasn't. He wasn't the anointed one. Solomon was the one who was to be the anointed one. He was the one that was to be marked out, chosen to be the king. And so he was identified in that place as the holy anointing oil from the tabernacle was taken out and was poured upon him, and in that way he was marked and identified for the place that he was to bear as king. The Lord Jesus came into this world.